In past transmissions I have mentioned the Goldonians, who live in a remote uncharted solar system far beyond Calder's. It is a vast area with many planets capable of supporting life. Recently, a very disturbing discovery was made by one of our patrol craft on the fringe of our solar system. This is a region consisting of an asteroid belt, almost impenetrable to fast craft as it has thousands of rocky asteroids and large and small chunks of stone, all completely devoid of life. Here, amongst this maze of space debris, our patrol found many Goldonian spacecraft. At first the significance of this find was not fully appreciated, but soon we realized that a veritable armada of craft was being assembled in this belt. A closer survey revealed that most of them were unmanned and resembled guided missiles which could be launched against any target in our solar system. The clandestine buildup of this sinister strike force aimed at Calder's startled all of us in the Confederation. Like a malignant growth, it continued to spread its tentacles throughout the protective debris of the asteroid belt. Its ultimate purpose was brutally obvious as we realized its extent. Mighty Calder's was stunned. Its planetary adrenaline for fight or flight had been paralyzed by 2,000 years of peace. Will Calder's have to fight the Goldonians to maintain their peaceful existence? The question had an all too familiar ring. Calder's is certainly not prepared for invasion, Weora said. We have no armaments whatsoever to protect our people. The only possible form of defense we have is our astral fleet, and if necessary, it will be used to prevent these invading craft from reaching our solar system. Seton has offered to strengthen us should an emergency arise. But our superiors have declined to accept this generous offer, for it is felt that Calder's must defend herself and that other peaceful planets should not become involved on our account. So let us hope that Goldonia will think again before considering such a hostile move against us. Their craft are primitive compared with what Calder's has in a way of space technology. We do not want war, but if it is inevitable, we shall stand against whatever they choose to strike with. The news of the imminent war threat to their friend and his planet shocked Edwin and his wife and the Q Group members. Centuries of peaceful coexistence was about to be cruelly shattered. A powerful member of the Confederation was under threat of attack. On our blood-soaked Earth, the threat of war is almost always present somewhere. Ironically, the planet called Peace was about to become involved in a war for survival. About a month later, Weora was back with another eagerly awaited transmission. It came through at 8:15 in the evening. He gave his position as 537 kilometers above the home of Edwin. He said that he had been delegated to represent Calder's at a Confederation conference held on Grandeur and he had just returned. These conferences were held regularly and he gave a description of the magnificent hall in the city of Venue. The colossal dome of the hall was completely transparent, and the delegates sat in a circle beneath it. In the center, on an elevated platform, were the seats of the superiors. Greater than from this position, they could participate in each discussion of the current affairs of the Confederation. Each planetary delegate sits in his or her own private cubicle, comfortably furnished and fitted with a sophisticated recording system so that a complete record of the proceedings and their actions could be taken back to their home planets. Weora said the conference lasted for 6 days and was almost entirely devoted to the crisis facing Calder's. All possible aspects of the situation had been discussed and many proposals had been made and considered by the assembled delegates. The consensus of opinion was that war appeared inevitable if the threat was not withdrawn, and that Calder's might be forced to defend itself. Weora continued, I have never been so completely exhausted after a conference as I was on that occasion. Never have I attended a gathering where so many ideas were presented to the superiors. One of the decisions reached will end some patrol duties Calder's has undertaken in the past. This will conserve her resources as preparations are made to resist a possible attack. Grandeur, Byron and Salamia will relieve Calder's of her patrol commitments which she has faithfully carried out for so many years. With an air of optimism, Weora said, I still feel that there is hope for a peaceful solution. I ask you all to join us on our planet in our prayer to the Almighty One to strengthen us against this peril. I feel sure that our prayers will be answered. The latest news was that the Gordonian fleet had made no hostile move yet against Calder's. But day by day more and more Gordonian spacecraft were arriving and the time for action was drawing close. Weora said we will do nothing until they make a threatening move. We shall then act to counter their move against us. In closing he said, my friends, I do not know when our craft will return again to your system. So I have asked the Cetonians Ibo to keep you informed of events taking place in the Confederation. With a short salutation he signed off and was gone. Note, this whole drama sounds preposterous and too much like our science fiction, too similar to Earth nature, but remember that fiction is based on very potential realities. The Caldasians as well as other Confederation members are human and as such, perhaps, subject to other human failings. The fact remains that there were a number of other witnesses who heard the radio transmissions live, who examined the radio, and the antenna, and the surroundings, and searched for Confederates and a way to do this without ever finding any real evidence of fraud. They were just as interested in not being fooled as you and I, and some spent a lot more money, effort and time than you and I to find out. If we prefer to think fake or fraud, then there are other considerations. If this were faked, then the perpetrator had found a way, with no identifiable equipment, to transmit power on a radio wave to activate and run a radio set and turn it on and off in front of witnesses, with nobody touching it. If this were faked, there were other tricks to be mastered: the aerial displays seen by others, the unnatural strength of George, and other similar phenomena. And this did not end. It is still going on. Continuation of the UFO contact story from the planet Calder's, from an anti-universe, which nature, and also their ways of traveling to Earth will be described in later parts of this incredible story, which for the most is recorded through a special reconstructed radio, say part 1. Chapter 6, Invasion. The ominous buildup of the armada in the Caldasian asteroid belt must have appalled Forford, the population of that planet. For us, wars and continuous fighting are part of our way of life. Indeed, Kenneth Clark suggests that the early stages of all civilizing epochs on Earth began with success in war and that fighting is apparently necessary to stabilize the resulting civilization. At the other end of the scale, Calder's had enjoyed 20 centuries of history without fighting of any kind, and consequently the only deterrent they could muster was their fleet of astral spacecraft. These craft are not intended for military service but are equipped with a sun-ray disintegrating laser or charged particle ray gun, which is designed to annihilate meteorites in the magnetic traffic lanes. Its pencil-like laser beam stabs at any object, destroying it in a brilliant flash without leaving a trace. Would it save their civilization? How would the population, unprepared for violence, face up to the coming onslaught? 5 days before Christmas the fateful news came by radio. A Byraean cargo astral craft relayed the message from Melka. I am Cash Hendo, from Melka Control. I have very grave news for you, Edwin. 2 weeks ago, the alien Gordonians attacked Calder's. Guided missiles in large numbers were launched, causing widespread damage including destruction of the main communications center. During this attack, 3,000 people lost their lives and many forests were set on fire. The defense was conducted by Weora, who led the 1st Division of Astral Craft. 5 craft were lost with all crews and 14 were damaged. Edwin was stunned by the news and could hardly believe his ears. Cashendo continued his report. At this very moment, Galdonia is preparing to launch another attack. The superiors of Calder's have ordered the evacuation of tall buildings in the main cities. The people have moved to the adjoining countryside or taken shelter in basements. In spite of the first losses suffered by the people, morale is high. We are confident that the invaders will be overcome and harmony restored to the planet of peace. Cashendo then explained the difficulties the Caldasian patrol craft had locating the alien guided missiles in the asteroid belt. The region was a vast maze of debris from thousands of planetoids and bits of barren rock. It was equally perilous to the Gordonians, and some of their missiles were seen to collide with rocks and explode. The astral craft slowed down considerably, while looking for these needles in a haystack. Once a missile was located, it was destroyed by a single burst from the sun ray. Unfortunately, continued Kashendo, we were not able to inform you earlier of the Goldonian attack on our planet. Our radio communication from Melka needs an astral craft between us and you on Earth to relay the signals, as they cannot reach you directly. We therefore thank the Byraean commander of a cargo carrier for making this transmission possible. You will be kept informed of developments from time to time, either by Melka or by the Cetonian friends Ibo. 2 weeks later, on January 2, 1970, his voice was heard again from Melka at 6:30 p.m. A Byraean craft assisted in relaying the transmission. It was most disturbing news. 2 Earth days ago, the message ran, Goldonian space assault craft invaded the cold Asian atmosphere. There were 37 craft in all. These were manned craft of immense proportions. Their objective was to capture the strategic tracking station in the northern hemisphere. This installation was hidden in a remote forest and had a staff of over 1,000. A Corinthian astral division was launched immediately to intercept the invaders. Kashendo explained that the Corinthian was a craft especially designed for long-distance interplanetary travel. It incorporates the most advanced designs with automatic instrumentation and is one of the most formidable craft in annihilating power as well as instant translocating capacity. Translocation is a form of instant displacement in space. In the encounter, most of the alien craft were destroyed and forced to land on Calder's, although some escaped. They failed in their mission to destroy the tracking station. The prisoners were interrogated, and after the initial language problem was overcome, the Goldonians admitted that they were assisted by at least 2 other planets in their system. Apparently, one of the reasons for attacking Calder's was to capture their minerals, food and other resources which they needed. The people of Calder's were appalled to hear that planets would go to war, destroy and kill many thousands for such a trivial reason. The Goldonian prisoners seemed to be fearless, indicating their belief that with the aid of the other 2 planets they would eventually overrun Calder's and bring her to her knees. In the meantime, Calder's had no alternative but to brace herself for the coming onslaught. Efforts were made to extract information from the captives which may lead to the location of these 3 hostile planets. As Kashendo phrased it, we are civilized beings, although we are at war. We shall not put our prisoners to any discomfort so as to compel them to reveal their secret to us. He added that all their hopes were pinned on the fabulous new Corinthian astral craft and the hope that they would be able to find the planets concerned and put an end to their unwelcome designs in time. But 2 days later at 9:45 a.m., a very concerned Kashendo spoke through the receiver, stressing the very urgency of the message for Edwin. At this moment, while I am speaking to you, Goldonia is in the throes of launching another attack on Calder's. An estimated 3,000 Sals are heading for our home planet. The Corinthian division has been alerted to intercept them before they reach the limits of our atmosphere. This is a crisis of first order for Calder's. It is the largest force that Goldonia has so far launched against us. Must discontinue transmission for now, as all channels are required for emergency traffic. When possible, we'll inform you on the outcome of this attack. Farewell. Day by day, more news of this latest attack was expected by Edwin and his group, but nothing was received at all. Was there no craft in the vicinity of Earth to relay a message from Melka?